So it continues our deluge of huge, well, I'll say huge updates, but it's a fairly substantial update this month. Abner, what are we thinking so far with the, I'm going to get this wrong, Pixel drop for December 2024?
I'm not calling it that. Anyways, yes, it surprisingly dropped on the Thursday. It's December, the first Monday of the month. We just came back from holiday in the US, so it's understandable, but I think this is our first Thursday feature drop, and it rounds out the year, and it's pretty sizable. I guess we can start with the Pixel 9 stuff, with a really pretty big update to Pixel Screenshots. Basically, Pixel Screenshots is getting some integrations with Gboard, with Circle Search, and with Google Wallet. I'll knock out the last two first, but basically when you take a screenshot of a pass, the corner preview, Pixel Screenshots corner preview will suggest that you add to wallet. And the circle to search thing is pretty cool, because when you circle to search, you select a part of an image. Previously, you could use it to quickly share something without having to take a have a screenshot on your device. You could just share to a message or to an app, and that's it. But now there's a shortcut when you do that to save the Pixel screenshots. So that's nice.
I really like both of those. And sorry to interject, but I feel like with the saving the images to Pixel screenshots, I don't know if you do this, but I'm bad for this when I do online shopping. Or if I see somebody wearing a really cool pair of shoes, I'll take a picture and I'll kind of circle it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, when can I look for that at a later date?
Yeah,
and
you never
I always
save
forget
it.
To then look back and I never save it. So yeah, that's
which
that's,
honestly
that
is a,
really cool.
That's a pretty, oh, this is going to be a rant. But Google Search's save system, they have an existing thing called saved. Base. Is that what the tab is called now? Honestly, I have no idea anymore. But there's an ability to save stuff when you open a website. Yeah, it's still called saved. When you open a website, there's a bookmarking icon. It's this system that's across maps, across search, but it's just, it could be so much more powerful, but it's just put in this cruddy web-based UI in the Google app that looks horrible on the web. But anyway, it's such a rant about how Google could have the web's bookmark. They could make the web's bookmarking system, but they don't, because it's behind this stupid web-based UI. Anyways, that's a rant. But yes, anyways, back to the main Pixel screenshot stuff. The big thing is this Gboard. Well, before that, there's some app updates. So currently, there's some new auto filters where basically you can add auto-categorize your stuff, your into categories like products, like what you were just saying, like places, like promo codes. So basically just make auto groups these filters instead of having to make your own basically with existing feature. I think that's going to be pretty powerful depending on how accurate it is.
Hopefully it's nice and accurate. I was about to say, when it does roll out fully, we can kind of make it a bit of a more accurate kind of guess of what we're expecting. But yeah, for me, I'm really, really bad at creating things anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think in a previous pod, we were talking about collections, and I do have some for like receipts and things like that.
Very manual.
And the manual aspect of it makes me less wary to do it. I just kind of search. Mm-hmm. So having like the auto-categorization seems like it's going to be a no-brainer. And I'm really excited to just see how these work in the real world, because I do use Pixel screenshots probably multiple times a day. So I have become that person. I'm a big screenshot taker anyway. So yeah, I'm really interested to see just how these work in the real world.
Yeah. And finally, it's this integration of Gboard. It's basically a memory feature. Let's say somebody sends you something about a song, or you take a picture of an album cover that you see in an article or something. Gboard will, Pixel screenshots will basically have a memory of that. It'll save the artist's name, it'll save the album name, and the next time you open an app like Spotify or YouTube Music and go to search, there will be a Gboard suggestion with the artist name or the album name for you to quickly paste. So this is basically a memory feature for from Pixel screenshots into Gboard. And I think that's a really smart integration in terms of making all the stuff that you have useful.
And that's going to work with, I think you didn't elaborate, but it's going to work with movies as well, right? So because movies, I think that's one thing.
So for example, like IMDb, or when you take a screenshot of a product, it'll go into, and you open Amazon shop, Amazon app or whatever, it'll surface those products. The caveat here is that it only, if you take multiple screenshots of a product or different products of different bands, Gboard will only remember the most recent one. So I guess that's fine for now. Again, curious to see how this works. But this is a it's a recall, it's a memory feature.
Yeah, this just feels like the kind of thing that we were really expecting to happen pre-launch, right? There were some leaks ahead of time about recall and stuff. And I think this is obviously proof of concept. This is going to happen. Yeah, I'm really interested. Again, all of these stuff, they kind of make sense. It's just a shame they didn't come out day one.
Yeah, I think that would have been a very impressive headlining feature of Pixel screenshots just beyond search. Because I think a lot of people's criticism of Pixel screenshots is, why not just use Google Photos? Google Photos has this amazing search, it has amazing filters. This is the Ask Gemini stuff now. But I think features like this really show how Pixel screenshots is specific. It's a focused product that can surface your memories. Useful. It's a more of a productivity tool than what Google Photos is.
Yeah, and obviously you have that siloed away and you can keep things separate. And I think that just the auto collections thing along. I wouldn't necessarily call it the killer application with Pixel 9, but it felt like the only one that was really forward thinking, if that makes sense from my perspective.
It's a whole new idea to use your phone on how AI. It's one of the better uses of what I like to call applied AI in terms of AI that's already in your life on your phone, rather than going to a new thing. It's integrated into how you use your phone already. Like that screenshot preview in the corner is not new, but adding so much more actions there is.
Yeah, it definitely feels right. I do wonder though, obviously you mentioned Google Photos, and I feel like I'm going to go off on a tangent now. Maybe it would have been better in some respects within the Google Photos application to at least give people the option. Like if we're going to have Pixel screenshots, you should probably have the option maybe. And I don't know. I mean, if you delete the application, I don't even know what happens.
So yeah, I think Google Photos would be how Google brings Pixel screenshots to every Android device if it wanted to do that. If it didn't want to keep Pixel screenshots as a competitive advantage. I think that's how you naturally do it. I don't know, I guess you could make it Android screenshots at some point, but I don't know. I think Google Photos would be a vast expansion of what Google Photos is. But I think that if Google wanted to do it, that's how you do it. But yeah, these Pixel screenshot stuff rolling out at this feature drop, it's still for the only for the Pixel 9, which again, the flagship feature makes sense, I guess. Unfortunate for people who have the Pixel 8 though. And yeah.
It definitely feels like a good way to kick things off with Pixel screenshots getting such a big upgrade. As you say, it's a bit sad that it's just Pixel 9 series, but I kind of guess it is what it is. Maybe we'll get that later down the line.
But yeah, that's the Pixel 9
stuff. In terms of the other update,
there's
a lot, isn't there, right? There's a lot of other stuff in there anyway. So it's not complete washout for everyone with other Pixel phones.
But yeah, just to round out the Pixel 9 stuff, there's a few things. Your Pixel Studio, the stickers you make in Pixel Studio will appear in Gboard. I think Pixel Studio as that kind of quick editor, quick maker of stickers has been pretty nice. Recorder has a clear voice noise, background noise reduction feature. Pretty straightforward. Looks nice.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think that's a great idea to add that to a Pixel Recorder. Definitely.
And I think the other flagship is call screen here. Gemini Nano is being used to power call screen suggested replies. So let's say you're on a call with a delivery person and they ask you where to leave a package. Gemini mm-hmm. Nano will suggest in the lobby, inside, not outside, as possible responses that you can just tap.
I mean, the only downside with that is I'm going to hazard a guess that's US only for the time being, right? Because there's a lot of these call screening features that I don't think many of us in the rest of the world still have yet, which is a little bit disappointing, but I guess it's not unexpected that it would be Pixel 9 series,
Gemini
Pixel
Nano.
9 series devices in US only. Yeah, I can kind of deal with it. It's not something, I don't take that many calls anyway, but I guess there will be a lot of people out there, sadly, rightly or wrongly, will be pissed off at it. So it kind of is what it is, isn't it? We know this, at this stage that certain things are only geo-restricted.
Unfortunately.
I know there's another cool feature that I think I talked about in my Pixel 9 Pro 4 long-term review.
Mm-hmm.
There's some updates to the Made You Look option, which I think is fantastic. I actually used it for the first time.
Yeah.
The Made You Look feature is, for like, genuinely, I didn't think I would use a feature which like this ever. I mean, I don't have kids, but some of my friends do. Phenomenal. They've just added some new ones for
Inside
this
Out
feature drop, right?
Yes, very popular Inside Out 2. Joy, the main character. So yeah, that's on the cover screen. It lets you show different fun things for kids to focus on. Made You Look is now coming to the original Pixel Fold, which is very nice.
Great.
There is no real thing restricting it to the 9 Pro Fold. And the other, I guess, foldable feature is how portrait mode now supports a dual screen, so that when you're taking a portrait mode picture of somebody else, the subject can also see the preview of the shot, basically.
Nice. I think that, the quality of life additions for a foldable device, it's a very strange product anyway, isn't it? I think, it's all of those things, nice little quality of life additions. I think Google's really doing that really well with the feature drops, and long may it continue with the Pixel Fold, because it feels like the Fold doesn't get enough of its own.
It doesn't.
But yeah, there's some cool stuff though for the Pixel
Tablet,
for the other Pixel devices now, right?
Yeah, to run it out, the Pixel Tablet getting lock screen widgets. We've known about this since QPL1, and Google is making official the VPN access, which is a nice thing. In light of other Pixel Tablet stuff.
Yeah, obviously the Pixel Tablet, it's good to see again. Yeah, definitely. I think it's nice to see existing features get rolled out. And those lock screen widgets, I'd love to see those on Pixel Phone. So
at least the Pixel Fold, to what you were saying. I think it makes sense there, especially when you're using it in full screen mode.
Definitely. But what have we got for all of the Pixel phones? Because I can get into some of the features in just a little bit.
So yeah, we're back to call screen. So when an automatic call screen session happens, you can now see the transcript in real time. Nice. That's for everybody. Well, US English on Pixel 6 Plus. And this is an interesting one. Again, Pixel 6 Plus, but simple view. It's just it increases the font size, increases the display size by the looks of it, increases touch sensitivity to make smartphone navigation easier. This is definitely catered at...
catered towards older people, I'm guessing. Yeah, I've said it, if that comes across as offensive, as an older person. One of the things I noticed as well with this is it introduces... But if I can say it, do we know for certain if this disables gestures? Because it seems to me like this is going to be used for on-screen navigation, which is a bit strange.
Yeah, three-button navigation appears to be back.
So that's basically Google saying that old people like three-button navigation. three-button navigation is for old people.
It's definitely...
Well, that's my read anyway.
It's definitely... I'm surprised they're stuck around for so long. I get why. It's easier to use.
Easier at first glance, right? It's easier to just pick up as opposed to gestures, which take a little while to get used to, right?
And in terms of for some part of the public, it's like swiping. It's just swiping is inherently a small touch target, and buttons are easier.
Yeah, no,
Always be easier in that respect. Yeah, I still see screenshots out there of people using it. Every time I try to go back, when I try to use three button navigation, and every time I try to go back, I'm so dependent on using swiping on the sides of the screen. And I feel like if they put that in with three button navigation, I would honestly could use three button navigation. But right now, I'm just so dependent on the sides of the screen. Going back.
Well, yeah, I do you know what? I will trial it over the next couple of days once we've got it fully rolled out. Mm-hmm. I'll flash it on one of my devices and see how I get on. And I will get back to everyone next week on that one. But yeah, there's some other cool features as well, a part of this update that I hadn't necessarily anticipated ahead of time because I was so in kind of thinking of what else is coming as part of the beta release and coming here. There's some cool other little features as well, right?
Now playing history, it can now show your album artwork instead of just the most generic pages just showing no cover art. So that's a nice upgrade.
I can't believe it's taken that long to even add it, right?
It's very insane long. That it's taken this long. Very long to get there.
So no more relying on third party applications to do that for you. Yeah, that's great. I'm pleased with that one.
So on the Gemini front, Google is officially rolling out the utilities extension. Utilities is already seeing wide availability, but they're also confirming messages, the phone, and the Spotify extensions, which joins YouTube Music, basically. And
nice.
The other thing is, this is more of a teaser by Google, but it says that you'll soon be able to use Gemini to control your smart home devices that your Google account can access. There's not a lot about that yet, but this is coming soon. So it basically sounds like a big Google Assistant integration coming into Gemini natively.
This all feels like we're finally reaching the point where Gemini could potentially replace the Google Assistant on phones. Because I still feel like there's a little bit of a, I don't know how to describe it. What would we say? There's a little bit of a expectation versus reality is completely off kilter. So maybe eventually we'll reach a point where I know there's been a lot of pushback, especially from the smart home fan community. I guess are they fans? I don't know. But yeah, it definitely feels like we have this disconnect and Gemini is slowly now going to start to ramp up. And all of these just feel like really natural steps into the right direction with Gemini, because I think it's clearly going to ramp up over the next few months, right? And especially as we see Android 16 become even more entangled within it, then it's good to see these things kind of come to fruition.
Absolutely. And on a more basic level, the addition of extension, the utilities extension, which you can use it to control alarms or just other device settings, especially with some of them available from your lock screen without unlocking, that's a big deal. Yeah, that's rolling out to everybody. So identity check is this safety feature where if you're not in a trusted place, you require face unlock or fingerprint, basically biometric authentication to change settings, to access your passwords or passkeys. So this is another extension of the theft protection features that we got with Android 15 initially.
That feels like one of those ones that's why wasn't this on theft protection? But I guess it is baby steps, right? I think theft protection was one of those that has been a reaction to issues people have had with phones being snatched, right? So
absolutely.
I guess it's all cool. Yeah, I mean, all really cool stuff that I think people will be happy to see. Just whether or not people really knew that they wanted it is another thing entirely. But yeah, it's all of these little extras feel like they're just natural progression of where Google should be at with these services and with these things that they've introduced. So it's good to see that they haven't just released them and neglected them straight away.
So in terms of, notably, this is the Pixel feature drop, but we also got the usual drop of new Android seasonal drop of new Android features. And the highlight, I'd say, there are two highlights. Expressive captions is basically an upgrade to live captions in which it can capture AI is being used to capture the intensity and emotion of how someone is speaking. So for example, as you're reading a live transcript of something, you'll see in brackets like gas or cheers and applause or groaning. And if somebody is shouting, it'll be in all caps. So this is Google using AI to really upgrade live captions. And it works on anything. It works on live streams. It works in sports, Google Photos, social media posts. Just like the latter is something that's usually not captioned, especially if it's like live. But yeah, this is a pretty good use of AI that's available on Android 14 Plus, US English right now. But it's, yeah, captures intensity and emotion.
Yeah, but I mean, live caption is another one of those features. How often have you used it? I used it, was it Android 10 it was released? I think live caption,
yeah,
with the Pixel 4 series. Long time ago now, yeah. And it feels like it, I wouldn't say it stagnated. It just feels like it's one of those accessibility features that luckily I'm one of those people who are privileged not enough to need live captions with content that I'm watching. And it was mainly a test sometimes, or I'd use it in an environment where it's quiet. So this is kind of good because it gives you that extra context,
when I
right?
don't want to listen to any, when I don't want to hear any audio or don't have headphones. That's how I'm using expressive captions. And it's obvious with Android 15, they moved it into the volume panel, into the new volume UI thing at the bottom. So yeah, it's a pretty big upgrade of live captions, expressive captions. So, and the other headlining feature is the ability is quick share is getting QR code based sharing. So let's say you have some pictures you want to share with somebody, you tap the quick share in the share sheet, and there'll be a new QR code option for somebody to, it shows the QR code on your phone and somebody else can take a picture of it and it does the transfer process.
Now that this is another one of those things should have been there to begin with, because I feel like
it's just having the more obvious option rather than finding.
Yeah, I think in congested networks as well, it's nice because obviously some people do use quick share. Nearly, what is it, Android 6.0 and higher?
Oh yeah,
is quick share available for? Mm-hmm. So there's like potentially a billion application, a billion devices out there that can use quick share. And I know from experience trying to share pictures with my partner in an airport was stress because obviously there's people trying to do the same thing. And then there's always people who've left it with the default settings for everyone and open all the time. And I even share things between my own devices and I have to rename them something really obvious so I can find them. And this is such a first world problem, but being able to just QR code scan the device I want to directly send it to will save so much hassle. So yeah,
it's like quick share is so much better than sending it over a messaging app, especially when it isn't high res quality, like the Facebook Messenger or whatever. It's so much nicer to avoid all the compression, to give people the actual files with the EXIF data, with the location stuff when they save it to their device. So much better.
Yeah, just to, again, I'm pleased. This is an update. This feature drop has been one of those ones that I wouldn't say it blown me away across the board, but there's all these little things that add up to something a bit more consequential.
Yeah.
And it's right in time for the holiday period in around the world. And I think maybe people are pretty happy that if they've picked up a brand new Pixel 9 or are about to pick up Pixel 9 ahead of the Christmas or whatever people celebrate, then I think you download a brand new update on your device and you have all these extra features. It probably should be a bit more, Google should shout about it a little bit more, but those are the headline features. Mm-hmm. We also have had all of the features that from the previous beta, and quote me if I'm wrong, it's QPR 1, beta 1, 2, 3, and 3.1 have all been kind of merged now into this update as well.
Finally stable.
So, yeah, it's finally stable. For me, the biggest is probably that 80% charge limit. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the one that I think people are going to be caring about the most. I am the kind of person who does it on other devices that I have. I do set a charge limit because I think the more you use something, I guess you don't want to replace that lithium ion battery all the time.
Yeah.
That's probably the headline, I think, for most people. There's also the semi-desktop mode on the Pixel tablet. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, this we'll have to see how publicly Google discusses it. It's obviously going to still stay behind the developer option. I don't think it's ready for prime time. But lock screen widgets, as we said, is live. But I it's probably not ready yet for live prime time or something that Google's going to discuss very much. But yeah, I think the other big change is the settings app. It very much looks different. Material U, pretty straightforward, simple enough. The other stuff in QPR 1 is the status bar. There's a new chip when you're casting your screen, when you're recording, when you're sharing. It looks like a phone call, basically. Very prominent. The best part is you can stop a screen recording by tapping that button without having to reveal all your notifications.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I just don't know why Google hasn't done that. You've been able to do that on iOS for a long time, right? So it just seems strange that that has taken so long to do when they have that. They've gone for that chip style status bar kind of heads up. Is it? I guess it's kind of a bit of a heads up notification. Why is it taking so long? But yeah, it makes sense to do that. It makes sense to do it now. The reorganization, if I can say it out loud, while I'm looking at it right now, of the settings application is a big change, but it definitely silos things into the right areas, and you have all of the things kind of a little bit organized. I'd say a little bit organized, like Samsung does it with one UI.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, it doesn't feel like one scrolling list where you don't know where everything is. It feels more like, Okay, these sections make more sense. Yeah, I mean, more broken up. And then you have that really big, large settings, search settings button as well, which is nice because I tend to do that. I'm sure a lot of people do. You just search for, I don't know, reset device or Bluetooth settings. Granted, that's pretty easy to find. But yeah, it definitely makes a lot of sense for some of these little changes that feel probably tailor-made for the Pixel 9 series.
But speaking, hopefully
it's going to benefit everyone.
The Pixel 9, are you ready to discuss the most controversial change here?
Okay, yeah, go for it.
The status bar. The status bar is thicker.
I like it, but I also...
It looks old. Think it makes it feel old.
It does. It does because it's just really like inset, but at the same time, people are going to hate it and people are going to love it. And I don't mind it because I know that it aligns with the kind of the middle of the selfie camera.
So
from a visual perspective, it makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, the thing we noticed during the review period was the cameras, the selfie camera was just so close to the edge. And so Google made it, added a few more lines, so the status bar is taller. In terms of the impact of content, it's not that much. It's really not that much. But,
mm-hmm.
and I will take this change over seeing the selfie camera so close to the edge. But it does take some getting used to. You do eventually. But it gives me some like Pixel 4 vibes with the very thick top bezel to house all the Sony stuff. And the face in our cameras, it's just noticeable. And thinking ahead, I just wonder if, like, now that it's thicker, it gives Google more space to add, I don't know, other cameras, other sensors in the future.
Possibly. I think it definitely looks more pronounced on the regular Pixel 9 versus the Pro and the Pro XL. I haven't yet flashed any updates on my Pixel 9 Pro Fold. I'm waiting for the OTA with that one. But yeah, it definitely looks a lot different on the 9. Because obviously I've used that one the regular 9, I've used that the longest since the Pixel 9 series was launched and pre-launch. I don't think it makes too much difference. I mean, I guess if that triggers somebody, like I know that some people will be triggered by these certain changes, but I think it just gives you that little area as well where you can kind of grip the top of the phone and the status bar and scroll down a little bit easier. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to find positives in a negative change.
I notice it less than the camera and selfie camera being so close to the edge. That's what I'll say about this change.
I wonder if, and this is really looking forward into the future, I wonder if Google might do some software stuff with the selfie camera to try and mimic dynamic island type functions where we've seen on Oppo devices and OnePlus devices with OxygenOS/ColorOS 15.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel if Google did that? This is a bigger question. How would you feel if Google did their own take on dynamic islands? Because let's not beat around the bush here. The selfie camera on the 9 at 9 series period is huge. The cutout is huge compared to previous years.
I think doing dynamic island in software is kind of missing the point of the dynamic island. The dynamic island, it takes this hardware necessity for the Face ID stuff, for all the sensors that appear on the top of the iPhone, and it gives it a software justification.
Mm-hmm.
I think like just putting a space in the status bar to have a pill, to like have something the equivalent of the screen call casting stuff that the phone call chip that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think it doesn't get what makes Dynamic Island kind of delightful. Actually, it's taking this physical constraint, and thanks to software, it's making it richer. And I kind of think that the current approaches to Dynamic Island are a bit on the, they're just doing it to copy the Dynamic Island rather than something having
like fully
integrated.
Yeah, no, that I get that. It makes sense. I just would be interested to see what Google's take would be because they've obviously made some changes in recent months that to kind of tailor it to this iPhone like design and stuff like that. But yeah, there's hopefully if you have a Pixel 9, you'll see a big difference. Obviously, we've just had Android 15, and you're getting a lot of features as well thrown in. So
yeah,
it's like a double whammy, right? I feel like
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's nice, and then obviously potentially Android 16 really close as well. There's a hell of a lot going on with the Pixel 9 series this year. If you've bought one, you're getting a lot of value for money in the first 6 months of ownership. So yeah, and it kind of leads me to another question, because I know that there are some updates for the Pixel Watch as part of this feature drop. I'll let you run through the details, because this is something that I haven't really had opportunity to dive into drastically at this point in time.
I'll just say that you aren't missing much, because so there's no monthly OTA this month.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is coming in March, as Google telegraphed last month, was it? Yeah, time was this time.
Yes,
but yeah, it's just bringing some old features, some new features to all the devices. So live view that shows your Nest Cam or doorbell stream and lets you talk to people. Launched on the Pixel Watch 3, coming to the Pixel Watch 2. The loss of pulse detection, which calls emergency services when your heart stops for whatever reason. That's coming to Germany and Portugal. It's in a lot of European countries right now, but it hasn't expanded yet because of the regulatory approval to outside Europe, basically. That's a shame. It's a very interesting feature. And cardio load and target load are coming to the Pixel Watch and Pixel Watch 2, as well as Fitbit trackers and smartwatches. But yeah, it's not a big one this year. I really thought we'd get this new watch face it's an update to the existing existing concentric watch face that adds a ring of complications. I thought we'd see that by now, but that doesn't appear to be happening from what we know so far. But yeah, it's a quiet update. It comes as Google has announced Wear OS 5.1 based on Android 15. So that probably looks to be the March update, if Google is conserving its resources and focusing on getting that out the door. But yeah, it's a pretty quiet one for the Pixel Watch. Hopefully we have more stuff. Again, hopefully we have a big March update to make it up.
Yeah, I feel like with a watch,
mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking to everyone here, I'm only speaking for myself. I can kind of forgive it if we don't get huge updates every 3 months. I think I can wait 6 months to do it, because at the end of the day, for me, it's mainly a bridge to notifications.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using the Pixel Watch 3 quite extensively for gym sessions. So in that respect, it only needs to do to do two things. But I guess it's great to hear that if you have a Pixel Watch 2, you're getting a lot of those Pixel Watch 3 features. You're not necessarily getting a kick in the face because technically you have the same internals. So
smaller screen, but yeah, beyond that.
Smaller screen, yeah.
Identical chip.
Identical chip. So you're not getting left behind, which is nice. Obviously, getting those features in more countries across the globe is really nice as well, because we still have this, as I said slightly earlier, we kind of have this, Google tends to focus quite drastically on the US, and then we kind of get things later down the line in the rest of the world. So it's nice to see that more regulatory approvals coming for core health features, I guess, and core safety features. Safety, right? And then even a little bit of stuff for the Pixel Watch 1, which weirdly is on my desk at the moment. I don't know why, it's just here. I'm looking at it. It was a great piece of tech. I've absolutely battered it. It's in bad condition, really, in the grand scheme. The way I treat my phones and stuff like that, it is bad by my own admission. But yeah, it's nice to see that not everyone's being left behind. We're getting a lot of things there. Because I think that's one thing that gets leveled at Android, period, and we leave a lot of things around. So yeah, I don't know if anyone out there has installed anything on the device just yet. If you've not received your OTA, you can always go flash these manually. We have links on the website and a really in-depth guide made by yours truly. If you do want to learn how to do that, we'll try and get someone to leave that in the show notes as well. But yeah, another big update. I don't know how you're feeling about what's coming in future, because we have way more stuff coming up in for the rest of the month. We're expecting
busy month.
Android 16. Developer Preview 2, potentially in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, for the most part, pretty solid. Cannot complain.
Yeah, it's, I'm really excited to try the Pixel screenshot stuff.
Yes, yeah. And we may have a little hands-on on site at some point in the next few weeks if we have the opportunity to do so, if it's a big enough update. But yeah, I just want to say thanks, guys, for listening. This has been episode 33 of Pixelated. We're back as normal, and we'll be back again in the coming weeks, because we're expecting yet more Android updates. What else could we wish for Christmas? Just want to say thanks for joining me, Abner, and speak to you guys soon.
Bye.